Take direct Yankee.
Yep.
This week's Torah Way has been sponsored by Family Wilner on occasion of the mitzvah of their son Yitzhak. Zayin Tishri, 9th of October, Rabbi Yehuda Boruch Lieberman, awake at the wheel.
Basic koiches that the person has, it's miyuchet to an adam, to chinen, adam das. And it's really something that's interesting, that it's universal to all people. A basic koich, at least the most elementary koich of seichel, is the koich of logic, the ability to work things out, to calculate something, and that's something that every person has. Maths can be taught to any child, not always easy, but everybody picks it up, and it's logical. 3 times 3 is 9. 8 times 2 is 16. These are things that are partial to them. The truth is not just basic maths. Even algebra and more complex maths, you can explain it to somebody. If you have the time, they have the time. If you're able to explain, they have the patience to listen. It's universal. Everybody understands it. It may take somebody a little bit longer. You just have to repeat it till you get through. And this koach, the clarity and logic that we use in maths, we use in all areas of life. We use it to estimate whether something's a bargain or it's not a bargain, whether that second-hand car, which is only a third of the price, is really worth it, considering what it's going to cost you long-term, in repair, in fuel, whether that printer is worth it or isn't worth it. It's true, it's much, much cheaper than the other printer, but what you're going to pay for cartridges. We calculate things, we work things out. We're able to build things, to develop things, the electrical developments, the engineering developments, all based on logic, calculation, the ability to work things out. Even a doctor, when he's working something out, when he's trying to assess what the illness is, he's using the power of elimination, he's using the koach of seichel, and it's something that everybody agrees, everybody can use. The detectives that so impress people. Wow, everybody looks at the case, they don't work it out. This detective comes and works it out. You know, the famous cases, that people read them because they're interesting, because we all relate to the basic logic that's behind it. We say, why didn't I work it out? When the author of Sherlock Holmes got so sick of writing the stories that he felt he just couldn't do it any longer, he had Sherlock walk off the end of a cliff, and that would be the end of him, and there was such an outcry. People were really demanded, he used to write a newspaper, they demanded, they wanted it back. He had to make up a new story, they didn't really fall off the cliff, just looked out for the cliff again. There's an interest in something that can be worked out. Well, why didn't I get that? Now we see it, and we chesh in it today. This is the koach we use in Gemara, the koach to argue with the chavrusa, or to clarify something with the chavrusa. It's all that power of deduction. And Rabbi Chanan tells us, if this is such a basic human koach, if this is something that is so universal to the human condition, so much part of how we think, we're like computers, then when it comes to a mathematical question, everybody will reach the same answer. There's only one correct answer. It's printed at the back, or it's printed in the teacher's book, but there's only one answer in maths. Either is correct or isn't correct. Yet when it comes to other areas, somehow we meet a lot more machlokas, a lot more discussion. One person will prove by the power of deduction that there is a borei olam, and somebody else will deny it. And Rabbi Chanan's mechadish, tova yodua, natov mestaba, that although, of course, when we use our logic honestly, it works to clarify the truth. When a person has negiz, when a person's biased, then he can sway his own power of thought, his own power of calculation, and he'll end up with the answer that he really wants. When you think about it, it's really the same power that he's using. It's actually the same inner strength. You can compute forwards, and you can compute backwards. You can put data into the computer and ask it to analyze that and give you an answer. But you could put in an answer and ask for the questions that would reach that conclusion. You either say, well, if that A is true, and B is true, and D is true, then the conclusion must be C. Okay, I'd better not do it if there's a Rebbeinu Shleil. And there's an Olam Haba. What it says in the Torah, then I'd better avoid it. But sometimes we don't want to avoid it. Sometimes we want a heter. So we say, one second, if I want to assume that this is mutter, what do I have to assume? And we then work backwards. It's the same power of logic. You can do it with algebra. You can give a sum, you know, 8, 3 would be squared, and x and y, and you put them in brackets and you times it, and you'll get an answer. There's an equal sign, fill in the answer. And you can equally put an answer and ask what it takes. What equation would it take to reach such an answer? And that's when a person approaches something with negias, with bias, then, well, I don't want to reach that conclusion, so therefore there's only two other choices. And when you start using that type of logic, you get very different results. You can prove, logically, that evolution is the source of the world that we live in. Because if you know for sure that there can't be a creator, because come on, that doesn't make sense. So there is no Borei Olam, then how did the world come into existence? Well, the only reasonable answer must be evolution. If you've assumed something, if you know which way you want to go, you can get the answer you want. Do you draw the target and shoot the arrow, or do you shoot the arrow and then draw the target around it? We have choices. And therefore, such a b'chanan, a person is expected to be a layman, because if a person is honest and uses his koyach haseichel yashrus, straight, trying to reach the honest conclusion, he'll always get the right answer. We only get the wrong answer when we have some bias. And I often think about this at this time of the year, when we start working on tshuva, we're in the Aseres, you made tshuva. What's the normal experience of tshuva? Tshuva is chat. A person doesn't have it. He does something that he knows is wrong. He knew at the time, probably, that he shouldn't be doing it. It feels like it might be Lashon Hara, but I'm thinking, you know, should I say it, shouldn't I say it? Next thing I know, it's happened. There's something that might be mukta, might not be mukta. Don't think about it, quickly move it, and then we'll think about it. You realize afterwards that wasn't right. That's mukta, that's awesome. Question, imamunus, is it stealing, isn't it stealing, is it honest, isn't it honest? There's a pang of conscience. We ignore it. We do an aveira. And then comes Yom Kippur, and a person realizes he's got to be chayzer b'tshuva, and he feels a charota, feels a regret, and he's mekabel l'abot. That's a normal experience of tshuva. Something that we know is wrong, we've dropped below our personal standards, and now the question is, something wrong? I've done tshuva, and charota, and kabel l'abot, and vidui, o'ke v'chet l'mafreh. But there's a very different type of tshuva. There's a type of tshuva that says, if Rav Elchanan's right, if sometimes our conclusions are based on bias, then some of the assumptions we're making about what's right and what's wrong may be incorrect. And therefore it's not just a shaila of doing tshuva on the averas that we recognize, it's working out what is an avera and what's not an avera. We all know the Gemara, Avah v'shona nasa l'geheta. The person does it once, and then repeats it. The first time he feels a little bit guilty, but the second time, nasa l'geheta. And Rav Salanta would add, that's avah v'shona. That's if he does it once and repeats it again. But shona v'shilish, if he does it a third time, it's not nasa l'geheta, it's nasa l'kemitzvah. It becomes a shitta. It becomes a mahalach achayim. And how do we know whether we're biased or not? Which means that the tshuva is nachpasad rachenu v'nachkeira. First we have to check our mahalach, check our ways, v'noshuv al Hashem, and only then can we go back to HaKadosh Baruch. Person gets lost. He's driving and he makes a wrong turn. So today he's got a sat-nav, and the sat-nav tells him, oh, one second, beep beep, yep, you made a wrong turn, and it'll redirect you. A person makes a mistake when we go wrong. The sat-nav, our inner conscience, tells us, stop, you made a mistake, turn back. Turn left, turn right. Make sure you get back to the right path. That's the experience of tshuva, which is all fine and good if the sat-nav is up to date. But if there's a mistake in the sat-nav, if the maps are old, if where once was a road, today is, well, there's, there's, there's a blockade, where once there was no way through, today they've built a new flyover. Where once the road led to your destination, today ends in a pond. It's you don't want to follow that sat nav. You've got to rethink. We've got to recalibrate. We've got to spend time in the Seretz Yemei Teshuva, not just feeling the charot of the averus that we know are incorrect. We've got to stop and think nach pesod racheinu. We've got to check our ways, and then never mind whether we got the right way or not. Is ways correct? Have we got the right program? Are things as they should be, or have we made hanochas, have we made assumptions about our own lives that are correct, that are incorrect? That was what I thought until this year. A moshel of the satnav. A person, the emes has seichel ayosha. The Rebbe Shem gave us this incredible keach of seichel. We must use it to clarify the emes. We must at the same time recognize that where we have an egias, where we have a bias, we reach the wrong conclusion. And therefore, before we start doing tshuva, we have to do a deeper form of tshuva, which is rethinking what's right and what's wrong before we do tshuva. And I noticed the loshon of the Mesillas Yesharim in the first shah, the first chelik, the Inyan of Zrizus. Mesillas Yesharim is built as a sulam of aliyah, as a ladder of growth, step by step. Stage one is Zahirus. And there, the Ramchal writes something as a massive chiddush. He says, we imagine that we walk through life and we see things straight. We basically see things the way they are. Occasionally, something goes wrong, and then we make a mistake, and because we've got an egius. The Ramchal says, you should know a person naturally doesn't see things right unless they make an effort to calculate, to be machashbin, to think things through. The natural state of a person is that we see things incorrectly. The natural state of a person is hoylich b'mahalech hergeloi ke'iver ba'afela. A person is walking around like a blind man at night, without street lights. Not like a person in the dark, not just like a blind man, like a blind man at night. And Mamele says a person's in a great danger. If a person walks through life without his hispoinenus, without applying himself to think, to analyze, to check what makes sense, to weigh things up. Is this worthwhile? Is this not worthwhile? He shouldn't think that he's following a satnav that has a few mistakes in it. Rather, hinehu kasuma ha-hoylech asvas ano. It's like a blind man walking along the edge of a river. It's only a matter of time until he falls in. A person in Olam Hazeh is an iver, is a blind man. A chiddush lifrul from Mesillas Yesharim. And he talks about the fact that chomer is gashmis Olam Hazeh, in a choshech halaylo la'in ha-seichel. The ability to use our minds isn't natural. It has to be applied. You know, Mesillas Yesharim continues, and he talks about the need to spend time on Cheshbon HaNefesh. And he says, I see this as a basic requirement. He says, just as in a business, nobody can run their business on instinct. Maybe if it's a small shop. But anything that's not very, very small and really basic, a person has to make a Cheshbon. You have to tally the totals at the end of the day, at the end of the week. You have to stop and ask, am I making a profit? Am I not making a profit? Is this business really worthwhile or not? And if he doesn't, he won't realize. He won't notice when he's losing money. He won't realize where he can make the maximum gain. You can't run a business just on instinct and be okay. So the Mesillas Yesharim, Hu Adin, just the same way when it comes to life. The only way a person can be successful in a chayim of ruchnis, in a chayim of toivo, in a chayim of hatzlocha, is if we take out time to make a cheshbon hanefesh, and he says to make a cheshbon hanefesh every single day. And he says the time that's dedicated to that should be a time that's kavua, not a time that's arai. Amen shtabach in cheshbon hanefesh. I don't know how many times I saw this Mesillas Yesharim, and I thought, oh yeah, I really should make a Cheshbon HaNefesh, it would be a good thing. But it never happened. Why? Because in my mind, I was still picturing the sat-nav. And I'm driving, and the question is, sure, maybe I'll occasionally make a mistake. You know what, as soon as I get a chance, I'll make a Cheshbon HaNefesh. Well, there's time for that. We're so busy with our mitzvahs, with our avodah, with our panos, with our tzorach ha'chaim. I bring up a family. Who has time for these things? I'm not such a tzaddik. I'm going to make a cheshbon ha'nefesh. But if we take his words literally, if we understand that it's not a question of a satnav, we're talking about a fellow who gets into his car and discovers that one of his friends, if you call that a friend, has played a practical joke and has sprayed the inside of the windscreen with black paint. And he can't see a thing. You just don't drive off, right? If chas v'shalom, a person has temporary blindness, you don't drive until that's cured. And no shame, you don't get into the car and drive off. If a person knows he's liable to fall asleep, he doesn't drive off. Unless we're awake at the wheel, unless we can see out of the window, unless we know where we're going, we just don't take that risk. If we knew that the metzias of an Adam is not the way we imagine it, we don't see the emes until something pulls us aside. We don't see the emes until we take the time to think it through, to weigh it up. Have him a chashev, hefsed mitzvah keneged tzchoro, uschar aveira keneged hefsedo. There are many examples of this. Everybody has their own examples in their own life, but some very simple things that you'd be surprised. How many people haven't actually thought it through? Wow. How many people actually have a goal in their learning? Every youth spends time learning. An hour a day, 2 hours a day, 3 hours a day, 4 hours a day. And some are zeich to spend longer learning. But every person has time during the week when they sit down and they learn. How many people have made a cheshbon about where they're going in their learning? Today, maybe 30, 40, 60, 70, doesn't really matter. But they're going to be learning for 5, 10, 20, 80 more years. Do they stop and ask, where am I going? Is this the most efficient, most effective way of learning? Will I know a masechta when I'm finished? Will I know a peirik? Do I need to spend more time on halacha? Or should I be spending more time on gemara? Do I have the time to dedicate to Iyun? Or should I be learning vikiyas? Can I afford to just learn Bekiyas? Or do I need the depth of understanding that comes with deeper learning? Should I be going to a shir? Should I be learning on my own? What's the most effective system for me? Am I doing enough chazora to make it worthwhile? When I finish a masechta, do I just forget it and move on to the next masechta? Or do I have a system that makes sure that I'll know something? There are yidden out there, we know there are yidden out there, in every profession, in every walk of life, who are learning masechtas, who are slowly building up their knowledge of Torah. Maybe there will be shasidim, maybe there won't be shasidim, maybe they'll never know a whole masechta, but they're learning in a way that is efficient, is effective, they have goals, and they're achieving those goals. Some people do, some people don't. Without a cheshbon, this is such a basic thing. Without a cheshbon, how can a person succeed? Do we know enough halacha lemaisa to succeed us from yidden? Does our wife ask us a shayla and we say, well, I don't know, I'd better ask somebody. Could we be better at that? Do we need more musa? Maybe we should be spending time on musa. Maybe the time we spend on Chumash Rashi should be used learning another parish. Maybe we should be finishing the parish with Rashi, with Ramban. Cheshbonus, simple cheshbonus. And you can only get the right answer by being mechashev, by applying the koyach of cheshbon. And if we don't, we just go through life and ki'iver ba'afel, love is like a blind man. Do you know how many people walk around overtired and under-exercised without enough, they haven't looked after the basic physical well-being, and they're struggling. They're struggling, and this is, I'm not talking about when they learn. They sit down in the evening, they fall asleep over their gemaras. Even in business, even in life, they're often irritable. They're overtired. And whenever you ask them, what do you want? I was tired. I was tired yesterday. I was tired the day before. I was tired last week. Does that make sense? Does that add up? Have we made a cheshbon as to whether it's not worth the time, devoting the time? No person almost would devote time to exercise and to good eating habits unless they consciously take the time to make a cheshbon. This is a basic thing. This is about being human. It's not in shaykh to being yid. It's a mitzvah of nishmata, but such a basic cheshbon. Are we mechashev hefsid keneged tzchar? Do we weigh things up? Do we make a cheshbon? Have we actually thought about how much time our families need? Wives, children, parents? Or do we just go on with life and the children are like a disturbance? They're a problem. They're an issue. Oh no. Chalamoyed, what are we going to do with the kids? Our school, what are we going to do with the kids? Why is it school from 8 till 8? Why do they have to have such long school holidays? Do we stop and think what we want to achieve with homework? Why children get homework? Is it maybe the parents stop and teach the children to think on their own, something the teacher isn't capable of doing in a classroom setting? Do we stop and make a cheshbon? How much, the time we spend with our children is the most important time in our lives. It's one of the things that we're going to regret, as Chas V'Shalom, or Bezras Hashem, when we're leaving this world, depending when it is. As a person leaves this world, he will look back and he'll say, if only, and every person has those if onlys. And if we stop and think, we can discover them now. We don't have to wait till 120 and look back and have regret. It probably won't be, why didn't we spend more time in the office? There'll probably be some things, why didn't I, why don't we make that cheshbon now? But you can't do that naturally. Naturally, that which is urgent, that which is calling for our attention, is what drags us and pushes us into action. Whereas the important things can so easily slip by the wayside. We have to make a cheshbon, have a mechashiv, hefsed mitzvah keneged schara, schar aveira keneged hefsed. And this is a basic poshut cheshbonos. This is in things that we know are correct. But when it comes to the deeper cheshbon hanefesh, that lashon of Chazal, have a mechashiv hefsed mitzvah keneged schara, uschar aveira keneged hefsedo. Every time we're faced with an opportunity for a mitzvah, that opportunity comes with a cost. There's opportunity cost for every mitzvah. We cannot succeed in any area of ruchnius unless we're willing to invest in it. We either invest time or we invest money. And those are the two limited resources that every human being has. And they are very, very limited. So if we want to succeed, if we want to achieve a mitzvah, if we want to achieve the goals that are really important to us, we have to be willing to invest in those goals. And to invest means to take money, time, other resources away from project A and utilize them for project B. We can only do that if we know the value of each project. Mechashev, hefsed mitzvah. Every mitzvah comes with a hefsed. And we have to recognize the loss of that mitzvah. So many times during this period, during the Yom Noroi, people take on a Kabbalah and they're going to finish Shas Mishnayos. They're going to spend more time learning with their children. They're going to devote a time for Musa, for Ashkofa, for Chesed, for other areas of Yiddishkeit. And it never happens. Of course it doesn't happen. If we don't set aside money for that, it won't happen. Businesses have this problem. They really do want to develop. They really do want to move their business forward and get new technology, new techniques, and move forward with the developments in that field. But it doesn't happen unless you've designated 10, 20, 30% of the income, of the profits of that company, to development. It just won't happen. You need a budget if there's going to be a successful outcome. We need to budget for success. Hefsed mitzvah. A mitzvah comes at a loss. That money must be taken from somewhere else. That time must be discovered. Must be taken. You cancel some other project so that we can succeed with this. We're not mechashev hefsed mitzvah. It never happens. And schar aveira keneged hefsedo. We never do anything wrong unless we have a reason for it. Ein adam chayta v'leiloi. We're not evil people. We only do things wrong because either some ego or some taiva, something draws us into it. And unless we look at the schar avera, unless we recognize what's pulling us to the avera, and see that the worth, the gain we're gaining, is nothing compared to the hefsid of the avera, we'll never succeed in stopping ourselves from getting carried away or being drawn into those habits that are so harmful. And it goes even deeper. But this cheshbon hanefesh, this analysis, requires that we rethink our attitude to everything in Yiddishkeit. Do you know, we all live somewhere along the spectrum. There's a spectrum in every area of life, in every inyan of avodah, in every inyan of ruchnius. And we are somewhere on that spectrum. Is it Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam? Do you believe that every moment has to be learned? Are you a massive masmid? Or some people who say, if I have spare time, I'll learn. When I have spare time, I'll learn. When's that? Monday. Do we give up family or do we give up learning? There are masmidim who will miss family simchas because they have their kriyas, because they've got to learn. And there are people who believe that family is first. You can't give up your family for learning. You'll ruin your kids. You'll ruin your relationships. Your relationships have to be equal. Where are we along that spectrum of the masmid who says, Torah ba'alas, family comes second, and those who say family comes first and Torah comes second? Where are we, and where do we want to be along that spectrum? In the sugya of kechat tefillah, of what's normal in davening, there's different attitudes to davening. There are those who believe the real davening starts 15 minutes before davening. That the only way to have a successful davening is to start with your talis and tefillin on, saying ma'atevu, 15 minutes before davening starts. Adon Olam, Yigdal, Akedah, Lo'elim Yodom, the whole Karbonos, Psukah de Zimra, Kamoy Nemois, people who stay right till the end of davening and have things to say after davening. And on the other end of the spectrum are the catcher-uppers. Those who don't remember ever being on time. And those who got used to the fact that davening means catching up. And a good day is when they manage to get Baruch Shem Asher Yishtabach and Baruch right to Shemoneh Esrei before Shemoneh Esrei and get Tefillah B'Tzibur. We live somewhere on that spectrum. It's not so much a belief as a habit. But where do we want to be? Where are we? In cheshbonos, in attitudes. Our attitude to technology. There are those who hold the old technology as treifel and nothing to do with it, and it's the treifelet, and it's only for goyim, and it's just keep it away, don't have it near you in your office, don't have any contact with it, don't talk to people who use it, run away from it. And others will tell you, you need it. If you want to be normal, if you want to be successful, if you want to be integrated into this world, it's not enough to just have it in your office, you need it at home. You need it on your phone, it's part of life. And maybe you have it tagged, maybe you have it filtered, but you need it. You can't live without it. Where are we along that spectrum? And what made us reach that position, reach that conclusion? What would happen if we'd use the Kerech of Cheshbon, if we'd ask ourselves, what do we really believe? We're Mechashim, Hefzid Mitzvah, Keneged Schara, Schara Vera, Keneged Hefzidah. So many mitzvahs that we have assumptions about what's expected. Kosher tzitzis, kosher tefillin, kibud avayim, the levels of expectation of kibud avayim. A person who stops and learns hilchos kibud avayim is likely to get a shock as to what the real expectations are. But that's the assumption, that's what's expected. What's the priority in our children's chinuch? Is it Torah? Is it avodah? Is it derech eretz? It's not all three. Only one is a priority. You can have the other one as second or as third. But we inevitably focus on one over the other. What are our priorities? What do our children feel are our goals? If we'd stop our children, wake them up in the middle of the night and ask them, what are your father's primary goals? What would our answer be? These questions that go right into the essence of who we are, the nachbasa drachenu v'nachkeira, is so valuable that a few minutes with a pen and paper on this type of cheshbon can completely change our Yom Kippur and completely change our year. A moment of inspiration, a few minutes of sitting and making that type of cheshbon hanefesh, not a list of all the avodos we did and all the mitzvahs that we did, but rather the question of what are the most important things to me? What are the five inyanim that I don't want to die without achieving? What are the things I'm going to look back and wish I would have spent more time on? We can spend time on that and then v'noshuv el Hashem, it's likely that we'll have a far more successful Yom Kippur, and that change, Be'ezus Hashem, will bring us the success that we're looking for in our lives, in our families, Moshe B'zeichet, Tehiyah, of Teva, Bracha, and Gesund, Masach Nachas.
Sunday after